Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome on this very important evening here in Western New York for Western New York High School football. It's sectionals weekend for football. It's Thursday night. We have two games tonight. Class B Section 6 game at the Ralph just finished up. Coming up in just a few minutes, West Seneca East and South Park are going to go at it for the Class A South Crown. Tomorrow we have Class D, Frewsburg and Franklinville, Ellicott Valley, West Valley. Ellicottville, West Valley, Class C, Bennett goes at it tomorrow. And at 8 o'clock in AA, Kenmore West and Orchard Park go at it. We have some very special guests tonight on our show. We're going to have Kevin Kirby, who is a captain of the 1996 Kenmore West football team. That was the last team that made it to the Ralph, obviously, before this team is going to tomorrow. And then his teammate from that team, Dave Liebenthal, you might know him. He does some work for BuffaloRising.com. He did a story on the East-West alumni game. He's a big shot. He writes a lot of stuff around here for politics stuff. So big name here. He's going to be on, too. Towards the end of the show, we're going to have Evan Manna on from the 300-level blogger talking about Williamsville South and the fall recap, which is coming up. He's going to preview his story that's going to go on the website this weekend. And we're going to have, as always, Pat Beltry, are from the 300-level blogger, our man from St. Joe's. A lot of stuff happening over there, over in Kenmore, and it's not everything is quite done there. So we're going to talk to him, too. But first, now we have Marshall Hamm, our reporter from the 300level.com. He is at the stadium right now. He just was live tweeting the Class B game between Cheektowaga and Burgard. We're going to get to that in a moment. We may have him call in, but right now we're going to do our recap from last week, and we're going to start in Class B. Burgard pulled off the upset as the number four seed defeated the number one seed Alden 14-0. Again, Alden, the first round they had trouble with East Aurora Holland. They took him to three overtime. They went to three overtimes and only won by 3 points. And then this week, Burgard came into Alden and showed they were the better Bulldogs, winning 14-0, putting them in the Ralph tonight. The two touchdowns, Jameson and a 90-yard pass to Nelson, and then the second Burgard touchdown, which came in the fourth quarter, which was a 9-yard run by Prince. Our second game in Class B was Cheektowaga defeated Springville 50-22. Springville's season is over with new head coach Eric Ansey. Dream season is over for Springville. Great game for the Warriors there. Billingsley had three touchdowns. Two on the ground, one through the air. Bartnick also having two runs for himself, two scores for himself. After a close first quarter, they poured it on for the rest of the game, 50-22. And that brings us to this week. If you don't know yet, Burgard and Cheektowaga has just finished up at the Ralph. They started at about 5:30. Over there, and they just finished up a great ending there. 25-22, Cheektowaga was able to hold on Burgard was actually up 16-0 at one point in the first quarter, but Cheektowaga came back and defeated the Bulldogs, very reminiscent of last year's Class B title game when Cheektowaga was facing Bennett. And Bennett had the lead in that first half, and they had the game, and then Cheektowaga came back there. So a very good win for the Warriors. But the Bulldogs ran it till the very end. It was about less than a minute to go. It was the Bulldogs had the ball on the Cheektowaga 36. I was watching the game. They have it on WGRZ. They had it 36. It was 4th-and-11. They could, and there's an incomplete pass, but they were Burgard was that close of from winning the game and putting a Buffalo team in, as a Section 6 champion. So they were three points away from being the first Buffalo school to make it to win a sectional championship since they joined just a few years ago. Obviously, right now, it's South Park has a really good chance. They are taking on West Seneca East. I'm sure that game is kicked off by now. Again, three Buffalo schools. We'll get to some of the other games too. But we have three Buffalo schools are in the made it to the Ralph Burgard, who just lost South Park, who's going right now, and Bennett, who is in the Class C. They have their game tomorrow at about 6:00. So we're going to go back to our recap here. Class AA, Orchard Park defeated Niagara Falls 35-14. The Quakers poured it on early and never stopped. Nate Bernard scored the second touchdown in the game on a 12-yard fumble recovery. Libitor had two touchdowns for the Quakers for them. So they poured it on. It was 28-0 at the half. Niagara Falls in the fourth quarter was able to get some little bit going as I believe Barnes, the backup quarterback, came in and had two touchdown passes. One was to Solanto and one was to Hubbard. But Niagara Falls season ends. Orchard Park moves on to the Ralph. That's tomorrow night, 8:00. The other game on Saturday, the game I was at, Kenmore West defeated Lancaster 44-21. Great game overall by Kenmore West. They got off to a very shaky start as a friend of the show, Zach Zembrowski from Lancaster, running back, ran 57 yards on the first play of scrimmage for a Lancaster touchdown. But Kenmore West fought back the next drive. They drove all the way down the field. Big pardon, Terrell Ford, Jason Taylor, big pardon, especially in that first drive, and he had a great game. Taylor had a wonderful game. Really out of the back feet, running the ball, catching the ball, made some great plays. On defense, he made great plays. He was the unsung hero of that game. Ford had a great game in the second half. He had four touchdowns with scores of 44 yards, a yard, and 72. He ended the day with 183 yards on 22 carries. He had three passes for 98 yards. One was a 12-yard grab where the best catch I've ever seen in my life. He practically laid out in the air, almost hit a Superman in the air, and caught the ball on his side, going sideways, caught the ball from Walker Johnson. That was a key play in the game. If you talk about a Connolly Cup moment, they talk about the Heisman moment. That's a Connolly Cup moment. And for anybody who saw that, I believe to Dave DeLuca from the news or somebody might have pictures of it. I hope you can find it if you did. But a wonderful play by Terrell Ford. Overall, great game. It wasn't a complete – the score is a little bit not quite what it was. With 11:29 left, Dan Spire, the quarterback for the Legends, snuck in for a touchdown to bring the game to 23-21 with 11:29 left in the game. But then West took over. Again, a great game. The defense for Kenmore West was amazing. I was there. Amazing game from them after a blocked punt on their one. They had a blocked punt onto their own end zone. The Lancaster got the one, and four straight plays, the West defense stood up, and they put up a goal line stand. I've been hearing all year that their defense is the best part of this team, and it really showed on Saturday that it is. Terrell Ford isn't the only one in the record books, like he got the record against East a few weeks ago. But Charlie Milks has 112 tackles on the season. If he gets two more tomorrow night, he would have the single season school record for tackles. Charlie Milks, he had 17 in the game against Lancaster. That puts him tied for second for most in a game. And it looks like he has the school record for sacks in a game with four. He got that last week. He may have gotten that earlier in the season, but I don't know that for sure. But he looks like Milks will be the sacks in a game, hold the school record for sacks in a game. So obviously a great effort on a great game for Kenmore West. We're going to have two of their alumni from the 1996 team. This is the first time in 19 years Kenmore West has made it the route. They've been to the semifinals various times. We're talking to Coach Harris at the beginning of the year. You can check my preview article from August if you want to go back. But he mentioned in there they've been so close. They've been to so many semifinals. And now they got over the hump, and they're going to the route. The last team from Kenmore West to make it there was 1996. And we're going to have two alumni, two guys who were on that team. They're going to be calling in, talking about the memories of that game and a little bit of what they see in this 15 team. So big game tomorrow. I will certainly be there. I'm going to try to make it for the Bennett game too, but I will but we'll see how traffic and everything works out. But I will definitely be there for the West game tomorrow. You can follow my tweets at FPAC300Level. Again, I'm your host. I introduce myself. Such a big show. Francis Pack, you can find me at FPAC300Level. I'll be at the Kenmore West Orchard Park game for sure tomorrow at the route. That's the Class AA championship game for football. I'll be there. I might be at the Bennett game, but you can follow me on Twitter for updates from that game. Certainly a big game for both of those schools. And they're having a great year. Now with Jamestown, not where they were last year, Orchard Park has picked up the slack and that over the in Class AA South and picked up the slack. Dylan Janka, he's a junior, having a fabulous year throwing the ball. They have a great offensive line and athletes. Week one. Kenmore West and Orchard Park faced each other week one to start off their seasons. I was there at that game. West did not look like they were completely there. You could see a little bit of nerves, but maybe they weren't ready. But Orchard Park certainly was. They won 28-0. We'll see how that factors in to this game. I will tell you this. The Kenmore West players and coaches believe this, and I'm starting to believe it. And from what I've heard, I believe it too, that this Kenmore West team that played on week one is not the same team that is playing this week in week 10 here. This is a completely different team, and they expect different results out of that game. Obviously, a pumped crowd. Alumni are very happy about this. They're going to be down there, probably going to have a big crowd over in, down at the Ralph. So 8:00 tomorrow, we'll talk more about Kenmore West and their season as some of their alumni call in. We're going to go to Class A. The title game is going on right now. How did we get there? South Park defeated Iroquois 40-14. Thomas had a big game. With two touchdowns, rushing and a passing touchdown. Tyree Brown had two passing touchdowns and a rushing touchdown for him. He also helped in the point afters, converting two of them, I see. Brandon Yeks for Iroquois in the loss had the two touchdowns. One was the 6-yard run, and the other was a 25-yard pass from Edwards. So South Park moves on. They're playing right now at the Rouse. West Seneca East destroyed Williamsville North by a big margin, of which I cannot find. But certainly that was an upset there. Will North, the team out of the North, first seed, and they just couldn't handle John Dalek the third and that team. So you know, they'll be playing tonight. Finishing warm-ups probably now. They'll be kicking off very soon. Again, that team led by John Dalek the third, Austin Bryanstein, Ray Johnson. It's a big game there. Right now we're going to bring in our first guest is Kevin Kirby. He was the captain of the 1996 Kenmore West team that made it to the Ralph, and he's the class of 1997 for Kenmore West. Kevin, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys doing?
Good. Kevin, obviously you were on the last team to make it to the Ralph for Kenmore West. What do you think this means that Kenmore West, now 19 years later, is able to get back?
You know, I'm just really happy for the coach and for the guys to be able to finally go and experience that. It's something that they will have with them forever. And, you know, the camaraderie with the guys themselves and to be able to have that forever, I just hope that they take it one step further than we did and they're able to win the game and move on from there and kind of finish up what we were not able to. So I'm really just really happy for the guys and for the coaches and everybody involved. It's pretty cool, and I think it's also very sweet that they're playing the same team. They're playing Orchard Park again. So, you know, it makes it even sweeter, the vindication that we can potentially succeed with over here with these guys. Very happy for them.
Kevin, speaking of your experience there, you had a touchdown, at least one touchdown I heard in your game as a fullback in that game. Talk about your experience 19 years ago. What do you remember most from that experience?
I remember, you know, the lights, the crowd, being able to just that was actually our first time in Section 1, the AA, playing the big-time teams, the big schools like Jamestown, like Lancaster, like Orchard Park. That was our first year where we moved up. We were in a lower division before that. So there was not really that high of expectations of us. So when we came in and we were overachievers that year. So, you know, it was – I loved being in that stadium, and I loved being with the guys. You know, the teammates, our teammates, there were – we had a great family atmosphere. We were family. A lot of us are still keep in touch today. But playing under the lights, playing in Rich Stadium, where Thurman Thomas, where Jim Kelly, where Bruce Smith, where they did their thing, and those guys scored in those end zones as well, that was really cool to me.
Kevin, I know you don't know a lot about this team in 2015, but describe the makeup of your team. Were you guys a power rushing speed spread, or were you guys a spread team? What was your team like back then?
We ran we were not much unlike this team, but we didn't have the very fast skills positions. We were a bunch of guys that were overachievers, really. We didn't have anybody that – nobody was All-Western New York. We had a few guys that were – we were second-team All-Western New York or honorable mention. But we didn't really have any one or two people that were extreme All-Stars that were getting letters from D1 schools or anything. We just really worked together. We had great leadership with the coaching staff and Jerry Tutwiler, Coach Harris, and Coach Sherry. And then, you know, myself and Mark Pico, the other captain on the team, and a couple other leaders. Mike Fertini, Dave Leventhal, and others, Darren Kresge. We we try to just lead by example, go out there and, you know, play our hearts out and leave it all on the field. Really is what our motto was, is go out there and don't take anything home with us, you know, and that's what we preach and that's what we try to do. So much, you know, different from the team now where they do have, you know, guys like Ford, where they're just fast, man. It's awesome. I kind of wish that we had a couple of guys like they have right now. I think we would have fared a little better.
Kevin, you mentioned Coach Harris, who was an assistant on that staff. Now he's the head coach. No, remembering him from back in your days, what do you think he's going through this week?
I think that he is. I mean, I can't speak for the coach, but I think that he's extremely excited. I think he's proud and he's excited, and he's led his group, the young men, over the past 3 years to very successful teams. So I think that he's just extremely proud. No matter what happens tomorrow, I think he's very happy with what he's done and the job that he's done. I think, you know, win or lose, he's going to be proud. He's going to be happy. But obviously he wants to go out there and get the W and get a little revenge from week one of this season where those guys got snubbed. But I don't think they really found themselves yet in that first week. I think they needed that first loss to really propel the team and say, hey, what can you do now? You know, you either shrivel up and die or you grab the bull by the horns and you move forward and you go and dominate. And that's what they did because they have some awesome talent, probably a lot more talent than we had.
Kevin, before I let you go, right now I want you to speak. You're one of the few people who can really tell the guys on that team, Ford, Walker, Johnson, Bilks. From former player to player, what do you think is the most important thing if you were to talk to these guys? What's the most important thing you would tell them about playing at the Ralph?
I would have to say, don't get overexcited. Don't let the moment take you over. Go out there and play the way that you've been coached, play the way that you've learned all year, and try to take all the momentum that's going on and focus it. And don't go out there and get too crazy and you know, overrun plays, overrun tackles. That's what could happen when you have a little bit too much adrenaline going. I would try to coach them to just chill out a little, do what you know you can do. Don't be nervous. And then when it's your turn, you just make sure that you, you know, you make that tackle, you make that block. Stick to the basics and your skills will speak for themselves.
Kevin, before we let you go, anything else you'd like to share with the audience about either this team or your team?
I would like to share as far as, you know, a Kenmore West alumnus. I would like to just say good luck, Kenmore West. Go out there. It's almost like you're playing an away game because Orchard Park, they're right in their backyard. And give them hell, boys. Go out there and play your hearts out. Many of you will never play another down of football beyond this game, potentially. So go out there and no holds barred, man. Don't leave anything on the field.
All right, Kevin, we appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you very much, guys. Take care.
All right, that was Kevin Kirby. He was the captain of the 1996 Kenmore West football team that went to the Ralph. They are the last team that went there to the Ralph. Certainly, he's a guy who knows what it means to be there as a Blue Devil. Certainly, he had great experiences with the team. He was very excited for the games, I'm sure. These guys are Walker Johnson, Ford, Mills, Taylor, Jameer Lynch. I can go on and on with these names, but he knows better than almost anybody what it means to go to the Ralph as a Kenmore West football player. So certainly he's going to be rooting for West tomorrow, and certainly it's a big week for him. I'm certain, and obviously you could hear him. He's excited about tomorrow. He's been excited all week for his alma mater. We have another guest who will be calling in soon, but right now we're going to go back to our recap here. in Class C, or I'm sorry, we're going to go to Class D, Franklinville, Ellicottville, Cataraugus, Little Valley, or Franklinville, Ellicottville, West Valley, wow, it's a tongue twister, defeated Cataraugus, Little Valley, 27-0. Franklinville was just pulling it on. Erickson had Easton found Erickson twice, one for 24 yards the other time for 28 yards. Easton had another pass in the fourth quarter for a touchdown to Herbert. Franklinville's been dominant all year. They head to the title game. That'll be tomorrow, I believe, 3 o'clock against Frewsburg. And our last game, and then we have going to our Monsignor Martin teams. Can't leave them out. St. Francis, this is a little bit of an upset here, at least I thought, 41-12 over Bishop Tymon. It looks like the Red Raiders have shored up their defense. Obviously, their offense has been there all week. Again, they were there today with 41 points. But their defense was, I guess they fixed up all their holes. So they only gave out 12 points. It's very good for them. Mets had five touchdowns. Looks like he had four runs and he caught a pass too. So a great game for the Frannies. They go into Tymon and they defeat them by a big margin. That'll put them in very good position. That should put them as the number two seed heading into the Monsignor Martin playoffs. And then our last game, Canisius fell again. They lost to Cathedral Prep 21-17. Obviously, as we said, Canisius is just not the same team that they've been in the past. They were last year, so certainly they have some things to take care of before they head into the Monsignor Martin playoffs and the state championship. Right now, we're going to bring on our next guest, Dave Liebenthal. He was on that 1996 Kenmore West team that made it to the Ralph. Dave, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, Francis, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Dave, we just talked to Kevin Kirby, your teammate from that team. Kevin, what do you remember most about being at the Ralph 19 years ago?
I remember thinking there's no possible way that this is happening. There's absolutely no way that I belong here or any of us belong here. And that really kind of plays on two levels. Number one, my family, we had decided during the late 80s that no matter what it took, no matter what it cost us, we were going to buy Buffalo Bills season tickets. And we sat there on the goal line in row 18, section 127, for every single game during, you know, the glory years of the Bills as they won AFC championships and made it to the playoffs every year. So, you know, to have been to more than 100 Bills games and then step foot on the field. And I had never stepped foot on the field. It'd been there 30 feet away every game and yet had never been on there. And you find yourself playing. It was just one of the most riveting things that that could have ever happened to you when you were 17 years old. And also, too, the moment. As a high school athlete, you dream of being able to make it to the championship game. Kenmore West had always had solid but never spectacular teams, but something happened. It was my senior year, Kevin's senior year, and all of us, a few of us had been on varsity for three seasons together. Many of us had played together all 4 years. In high school, and something just clicked with that team. Wasn't even probably the most talented team that I had been on during high school, but for one reason or another, there was something just very intangible and ephemeral about the way we worked together, played together, and when it came to get on the football field, man, I mean, we just brought it every single game. We fell a little short in the championship game in 1996, but it was truly one of the most remarkable experiences of my life up to that point and ever since too, man.
Obviously it was a great experience for you guys. you know a little bit about this team in 2015. Can you kind of compare what your team was like compared to these guys here in 2015?
Well, I was listening to Kevin talk, and he's absolutely right. The 96 team, just a bunch of overachievers. There were no All-Stars. You know, Kevin was a guy who you obviously can't see him talking on the radio, but he's maybe 5'11" on you know, after a big dinner at the Chinese buffet, he might be going 190. But he played like he was 6'3" and weighed about 230 pounds, and he hit like a Mack truck. And, you know, he was just one of a number of guys who just was out there, and they played probably beyond their talent. They may have not been the biggest or the fastest, but they worked harder than anyone on the field, and we beat a lot of teams that season that we probably didn't have any business beating. One in particular was the semifinal game that got us to Ralph Wilson Jr. Stadium, then Ridge Stadium, and that was against Jamestown. Jamestown seemed unbeatable. They had just kicked the tar out of us in a game earlier in the season, not too dissimilar from what happened with this Kenmore West team against Orchard Park at the beginning of the season. If I recall, the scores are similar. I think this year Orchard Park beat Kenmore West 28-0, if I'm correct.
Yep.
And I recall Jamestown beating us 28-7, so very similar result. But, you know, ultimately we went into Jamestown in a snowstorm and in one of the craziest games. A lot of us had never played in snow ever, and we just decided, all right, this is going to be our game. This is going to be our game to defy the odds and to do something that is probably beyond ourselves, and we're going to come together as a team, and we are just going to, even if by sheer force of will, we're going to win this game. And damn it, we did. So it was something that I think, even though we lost a championship game, in a way that was kind of our championship game, because we proved to ourselves that game that we could pretty much do anything that we set ourselves out to do. And, you know, this 2015 team, Kevin is, again, totally right. Talent in skill positions that we could have only dreamt of. They've got speed and size that we just simply lacked, although we had a pretty monster offensive line in 96. And Terrell Ford, I've seen video clips of him. Sadly, I wasn't able to come back to Buffalo to see any games, living here in Washington, D.C., but from anything that I've seen in video, their skill positions, incredible, and also a very technically sound team. They make tackles. They block really well. They don't make a whole lot of mistakes. And they seem to have a nose for really big plays, too, where when the moment is opportune, they take advantage of it. You've seen, you know, block kicks. You've seen interceptions, some massive plays on offense, and some big, big runs that are broken. And, hey, you can have the best running back in the world, as you well know, but if you don't have an offensive line and some backs who can block, you know, that running back is going nowhere fast. So this team, I think, if they're able to really just keep their fundamentals straight and to hold it together with the basics, they've got a very, very good chance of beating Orchard Park come tomorrow night.
Dave, you weren't back here for the season, but I know you came back here during the summer for the alumni game. You wrote a great article about that, by the way. I'm sure a lot of people saw that. You probably did hear a little bit about what this team was going to be and the excitement surrounding the program before the season. Were you at all surprised about that, or how did you feel about that, the excitement around the program?
Yeah, there was a little talk about, hey, this team might be able to do something. And of course, they had made it to semifinal games, I want to say 6 or 7 times in recent years, and just haven't been able to break through. But it was pretty clear that there was going to be another talented Kenmore West team. So, you know, after our alumni game, which was, mind you, just an incredible experience in and of itself, 19 years removed for a lot of us for playing our last football game. And there were 5 guys from that 96 team who played. Kevin and I played, and Brian Albano and Jay Reinhardt, Rob Wassinger, you know, guys who were just really, really solid football players and great guys. And it was amazing to have the opportunity to do something none of us probably ever thought we were going to have a chance to again, which was strap on a bunch of pads and, you know, be crazy guys in their mid-30s going out and just smacking it around against our crosstown rivals. So a lot of fun, but yeah, definitely some talk about the guys who are playing right now, and it just seemed like a great bunch of guys. I'm just sad I'm not going to be able to be there tomorrow, but man, do I wish them all the luck in the world. They've got just an incredible opportunity, no matter what the result is, to just have a defining experience in high school, and perhaps one of the best memories that they are possibly going to be able to make, whether it's this year, next year, or 2 decades from now.
Dave, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Kevin. You guys and a select group of guys who are on that 96 team are really the only ones who can tell these guys, as Kenmore West Blue Devils, what to do when coming in, how to handle it. So what would your advice to them be right now to those players?
I agree completely with what Kevin had to say. Don't get overexcited. It's the easiest thing to do, the hardest thing to defend against internally, but perhaps the most important thing that you're going to have to do in order to do your job out there, to play your position, to make plays, and ultimately to play as a team. You know, Rich Harris was an assistant coach on our 96 team, and he's a great coach and just a great guy. And I think he's going to get these guys in shape for the game without question. But, you know, this should be a joyous experience. Sorry to get sappy on you here, but it really should be for everyone on the field, because there are so many athletes who are just never going to have an opportunity to do something as cool as playing on the same field that every Buffalo Bill since the early 70s has been able to do. And to put your footsteps in the same footsteps of all the great legends and Hall of Famers that have come and gone over the years. And, you know, today are playing, you know, sometimes, not all the time, some great football. We hope the Miami game is going to work out pretty well this weekend. But in any regard, it's just it's an experience that is really not only second to none, but just a chance to do something that is singular and quite possibly unique in many of these guys' lives. And sure, some, you know, hopefully a couple of guys are going to go and play college ball, and who knows what will happen after that. But indeed, most of these guys, this will be the last organized full contact football game that they play, and just be happy to be there and do everything that you can to make sure that you leave it all on the field. So when you step off the field for a final time, you just kind of got a smile in your soul and you can take it with you.
Dave, you're a pretty busy guy, but if the results go a certain way tomorrow and maybe next week, are you willing to maybe come out in late November to maybe Rochester or Syracuse to watch these guys in the state finals or something?
It's entirely possible. My wife and son and I are taking our annual week-long trip over Thanksgiving back to Buffalo. So I hope that's a conversation we have to have. We're going to go watch some football. There is no Buffalo Bills game that weekend, of course. So maybe we'll find a little time on our hands. But at the very least, we'll be watching very, very closely to hopefully see these guys beat Orchard Park. And not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but maybe have an opportunity to take it on from there.
Kevin, before we let you go, anything else you'd like to say to the audience about either your 96 team or this team here?
Kenmore West has just long been a real, you know, bunch of great and gritty athletes on the football team, but also to some awesome teams. I think of some of the softball teams and basketball teams and soccer teams, both men's and women. And, you know, a lot of times we weren't winning championships necessarily, but always, always really, really great athletes, great people. And it's very heartening, you know, even though I don't get to watch a whole lot of games or see it anymore, to just see, you know, that tradition of really, really good people doing great things, and great kids doing great things. And doing it at a high level now too. And I think that's been a hallmark for a long time about Kenmore West athletics, and it's great to see that that's persisting to today as well.
All right. Dave, thanks for coming on today, and we hope things work out in Kemmer West's favor for you.
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Again, that was Dave Liebenthal. He's a writer. He writes a lot of politics. I believe he's in Washington right now working. He's a Kenmore West alum. He's the kicker for the 1996 team again, the last one that went to the route for Kenmore West. He was talking about his experiences there, like Kevin, and what he would say to these guys tomorrow. Right now, we're going to bring on Evan Manna, our fromthe300level.com blogger from Williamsville South. Evan, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Just watching the Sabres, hoping they can pick it up.
All right. Yeah, obviously they're not doing well. Last I saw it was 3-0. Any update on that? I haven't been looking at it.
Yeah, actually Jack Eichel scored in about the midway point of the second period to make it 3-1. His fifth goal of the season. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, no update since then, though. So 3-1 at the end of the second.
Okay. Right now I'm going to pause you. Not going to pause you and keep you on, but like to let you guys know if you're listening live, the first quarter has just ended. We have, again, Marshall Hamm there from the300level.com. He's there for us. South Park is leading West Seneca East 16-0. Tyree Brown is leading it over there. He has 2 rushing touchdowns, and then throwing the ball, he's 3-for-3 for 91 yards. So he's having a great game for them. Evan, we'll go back to you. Will South, I believe, for their fall sports, have they all wrapped up, or do we still have teams still competing?
We are all wrapped up for fall sports. Earlier today, I went to gymnastics sectionals for girls. So we actually held sectionals at our school for the first time in actually a while. It was kind of cool to see. This was actually my first gymnastics meet. But there were a bunch of schools there. Clarence was there. Williamsville East was there. Williamsville North. Hamburg, Frontier. Williamsville South was represented. So just a huge crowd there tonight, and just good to see that event come back to Williamsville South. But yes, other than that, all the sports are wrapped up, and we had some teams go pretty deep into the playoffs. But yeah, unfortunately, we couldn't really get too far this year, and we're hoping for better outcomes from our winter and spring sports.
Yeah, one of your teams was a volleyball team, which I know you're very close with. How did they? I noticed they had a great start to their season. How did their season come to an end?
Well, the boys team went undefeated in their division play. They went 12-0, and we actually lost to Williamsville North on Tuesday night. It was a very close game. Every set was close. We took them to 5, and actually North is in the higher division, is in the division above us. But a lot of teams dropped down for the playoffs. Williamsville North does, and a lot of other teams like West Seneca West and some other schools, Grand Island, I know they do, Eden. So we were actually the number 2 seed, ranked ahead of Eden, who was tied with us. So it went to a coin flip, and we won the coin flip. So we got the number 2 seed, and we drew Williamsville North in the first round, played them at home, and we played a great game. We played them tough, and we took them to 5. Unfortunately, we just didn't have enough in the tank, and we fell short. But it was a great year. I'm proud of everything we did, and we really proved ourselves. I mean, we only had 3 returning varsity players, myself, Joseph Zanilotti, and Sean Barbalato. So, I mean, the things that we did with the people that we had were just amazing, and I couldn't be more proud of the guys.
All right. Before we have another update from the South Park game, so hold on here. We have a touchdown first play of the second quarter. Tyree Brown found Daryl Moore for the touchdown pass. It was 11 yards in the play, and the 2-point was good. South Park is up 24-0 with 11:54 left in the second quarter there. So the Sparks still moving on. Again, that's Marshall Hamm on Twitter who's keeping track of that for us. Evan, back to you. you're going to have a write-up for us for a recap of the fall sports season. Can you give us a little preview? You started to with volleyball on what's going to be in that article this weekend?
Yeah, I'm actually going to go through every fall sport and just talk you through how their season went. I'll get some interviews in there. So, yeah, I'll have football for you. I'll have some inside coverage on their first-round playoff loss to South Park. I'll have some girls soccer, I'll have some boys soccer, and I'll cover field hockey season, who they had an absolutely outstanding season. They went 14-1-1 in the regular season, and then unfortunately got beat by Amherst in the second round of the playoffs. I know they were very disappointed about that. So I'll just have some nice interviews for you guys and just really show you what Williamsville South accomplished this year.
All right. Evan, anything else you'd like the fans to know about Williamsville South Sports as the fall season ends and we start to get into winter?
We're just looking forward to winter. We're hoping that hockey has a really good year. We're hoping that basketball has a really good year. I know one of our big basketball stars, Matt Foster, is still out on a fractured ankle. So we're hoping he's back by about midseason. But we're hoping for a strong year from both those teams, and I'll have plenty of updates on those sports.
Speaking of injuries, any update on the Jack Hoyoke shoulder injury?
Yes, I believe he's doing better now. He's out of the spring. He should be ready for his big spring sport, which is baseball.
Okay. All right, Evan, we appreciate you having you on today, and we'll have you on in the future.
All right, have a good night.
You too. All right, that was Evan Manna, our From the 300Level.com blogger. He goes to Will South, and he covers the Williamsville South Phillies pretty extensively over there. He's going to have an article up this weekend going through all the fall sports there, interviews, analysis, recap of the season. So look out for that this weekend. So we have about 12 minutes left for our show. We're going to have, as I said earlier, Pat Belcher is going to be coming in a few minutes here, hopefully. But right now, as we go back, we have, again, South Park is up 24-0. Tyree Brown has three touchdowns. First two were with his feet. The second one was an 11-yard pass to Darryl Moore. The Sparks look to be rolling on John Dolak III and the West Seneca East Trojans. As this season wraps up for football, obviously a great season over there for a lot of teams. Buffalo School is doing well. Obviously, Burgard lost. But first time we've had three teams again, as I said earlier, in the section at the Ralph in one weekend. South Park, Burgard, and Bennett. Bennett going down. South Park looking very good, like they're going to go on. And Bennett should have the win tomorrow against their opponent, who I cannot think of right now. But so obviously the Buffalo School are doing well now. Bud Bailey from the news had a great article today about how the Buffalo schools have caught up to the suburban schools and are really competing with them. So that's hopefully a tradition that that will continue for many years to come. And obviously it looks to be having a good effect on the students there at Buffalo Schools, bringing them out, bringing them throughout Western New York. They're talking about how they get to travel. I checked that article out from Bud Bailey from the news. But that's good with all the problems that district has, that those kids can look to something and say, hey, we're good. Hey, we're improving here. We're top here. We feel good about this here. So, and it just doesn't have to do with, and they have to, not just the sport, but in order to keep playing, they have to keep their grades up. So that's good. Hopefully, with better leadership, the whole district can turn around. Right now, we have, an update about 35 seconds ago from Marshall Hamm. John Dolak III runs the ball from 13 yards out. He was even carrying a thunder, according to Marshall, for at least 8 yards, and he gets the two-point conversion. South Park is now up. He put in 16-8, but it would be 24-8, I believe. I believe it was mistyped. But so it looks like the Trojans are trying to come back. Boys soccer, this on Sunday, have Pat talk about it. We had Canisius and St. Joe's go at it at Niagara University on Sunday. Canisius was able to pull off the upset in many eyes. I'm sure it was to Pat and the guys from Joe's. Canisius was able to pull off the upset. I believe they won the Monsignor Martin Championship there. Canisius doing well in soccer. That wraps up. I believe Canisius moves on. I believe they move on to the next tournament, but we'll see. With boys soccer, we do have some winners there. Class AA, Williamsville North wins it with a 14-3-2 record. In Class A1, the Vikings, one of the top teams in the state, they win the A1 bracket. Out of A2, Iroquois takes that one, 11-7-1. Class B1, East Aurora won that bracket. Class B2, International Prep, they took that one. In Class C, it was Allegheny Limestone taking the title. And Class D, Ellicottville winning there with a 12-4-2 record. Tomorrow night, for the Far West Regionals, they will be hosted by Section 5. They'll be at Spencerport High School. If you really want to head out there, it's on 2707 Spencerport Road and somewhere over in the Rochester area. So tomorrow night, Class D, Ellicottville will take on Alfred Alvand at 5 o'clock. In Class A, at 7:30, Grand Island, the top team in the state, will take on Hoyno Falls Lima out of Section 5. There on Saturday, triple header, Class C, 2 p.m. Allegheny Limestone will take on Geneseo at 4:30 to follow that up. Class B, East Aurora will take on Livonia, and to wrap things up, for Class AA, Williamsville North will take on Hilton from Section 5. So, big things going on there. Great things going on over there. Williamsville North is the 12th ranked, according to New York State rankings, they're the 12th ranked team out of here. Not sure of ranking their schools. Grand Island, number one in New York State again. East Aurora is number four in, over there. And Class C, Allegheny Limestone is number eight in the state. And Ellicottville is number nine. So a lot of things going on there. So before we end the show, we're going to go thank our sponsors real quick. Daniel Beck, attorney at law. His office is at 3290 Genesee Street in the town of Cheektowaga. You can make an appointment with him if you need to take care of some real estate stuff, looking to buy a house, need to make a will. Call him at 716-253-6500. For that. If you're looking, need insurance on your home, for your auto, your car or something, I can go to the Paul Wolf Agency at 2686 Elmwood Avenue in Kenmore, New York. You can call them at 716-835-WOLF, 716-835-9653, or you can visit his website at www.paulwolfagency.com. And again, this show is brought to you by from the300level.com. I'm Francis Beck with them. Before we end the show, big game tomorrow. We just talked a lot about Kenmore West coming in. They will be the underdog tomorrow as they take on Orchard Park, who they lost to in that first game. I was there at that game. They looked deflated over there. They looked like they weren't quite ready. In that game. So hopefully this team is different, and maybe they can come up with a better, with a different outcome tomorrow night. I will be there again. You can follow me on Twitter at FX300Level for updates from there. We might do something with Facebook. If you don't use Twitter and use Facebook, we might have something from our From the 300 Level Facebook page. Keep an eye out for that. Game tomorrow, I will try to get to the Bennett game of the Ralph if things are able to work out well enough there. So I'm able to get down there quick enough. So certainly a big day at the Ralph, Class D coming for that 3 o'clock. Right now, see if we got an update here. Our last update was the West Kinnickies touchdown. It should be South Park. It is up 24-8 over the West Kinnickies Trojans, and that's probably by the middle to the end of the second quarter there. So keep an eye out tonight. Marshall Ham's going to probably have a recap up on the website tonight on the two games tonight. I will try to have a recap up Friday night, Saturday morning on those games. Again, soccer, they're playing in Rochester this weekend for the Far West Regionals. So they're doing well there. We have another update from Marshall Ham, just came in. Tyree Brown is reminding Marshall of Tyrod Taylor right now. He's 7-for-31 with two touchdowns now, passing with two touchdowns passing. He's 8-for-8 for 147 yards. Perfect. He's perfect completing and TD. So Tyree Brown obviously having a great game. It looks like obviously kind of early, but it looks like South Park will go on to take the crown in Class A. Last year they were in this game, and they lost to Sweet Home. This game, a close game, but Sweet Home, who had been there all the time and was looking for revenge from the loss before then to Williamsville North, which shocked the whole, but all of Western New York. They got their win last year, but South Park is back, and it looks like they're gonna win this time. Obviously, they beat West Seneca East in the regular season. That's what gave them the Class A South Division title. So I think we're going to end our show here. Again, thank you for listening. A great show tonight. Kevin Kirby and Dave Laventhal from the 96 Kenmore West team. Evan Manna was great tonight, previewing you in his article that's going to come on over the weekend, a recap of Williamsville South Sports, their fall season. Fall season is really starting to wrap up. We're into the playoffs. Sectional playoffs for football by Thanksgiving. That's going to be all wrapped up. Obviously, soccer is starting to finish on their Far West Regionals this weekend. Girls swimming has sectionals tonight. We'll try to get stuff for that coming up over the weekend. So a lot of stuff going on here, Western New York sports, and we start to get into the winter season in hockey. So a lot of stuff going on there with the girls and boys teams. Again, to let you know, Grand Island has joined the Girls Federation League. They will be joining with the Kenmore squad, the Kenmore East, Kenmore West team. So three teams, Kenmore East, Kenmore West, Grand Island will be on one team this year in the Girls Federation. Boys Federation coming back, they'll be getting more coverage. We have a bunch of people going it, doing more coverage for the boys hockey. So a big year. Obviously, hoops will be big this year. So this show is going to be a little bit talk to people here from the blog, but the show is going to take on a little bit of different form as we head into the winter. Still be around. We'll hopefully get more from Evan Manna and Pat Belcheri as with St. Joe's hockey. They have a great program there. We have Marshall Ham in here and some other guys. Thanks for listening tonight. And thanks for listening to From the 300 Level Radio, Western New York High School Sports Weekly. This is our Week 10 episode.